Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. What we are seeing today with the yield curve is completely unprecedented. And we all know that the yield curve has inverted in the past with the twos and the tens, not like this. So let's dive right into these stories, or actually some websites and some charts. And I'm going to go over exactly what I'm referring to. Also, if you guys didn't check out my whiteboard video last night, I'd highly suggest it's on the George Gammon channel. Actually, kind of see it right there. And I go over not just the inversion of the yield curve, but what's happening in the repo market that is really adding another component of risk, or at least the insiders in the dollar monetary system are telling you with their actions that they see a ton of risk coming down the pipeline. When you combine that with what they're telling us with the inversion of the yield curve, it makes you realize that, hey, I need to pay attention to this, and I need to pay attention to it right now. So let's get into today's data as far as what's happening, as up-to-date data as possible. So the 3-month is 51 basis points. Most often this is compared to the 10-year, which is 2.39. So a lot of pushback that you're getting on social media, and actually my good buddies Jeff Snyder and Emil Kalinowski addressed this today in their podcast, which I highly suggest checking out. But that's what the market participants looked at a lot, along with the 2-year and the 10-year. So a lot of these market participants, and I would call them maybe the stock market bulls, are saying, oh no, this yield curve, this is nonsense. This is fake news. Because in the past, you've seen the 3-month and the 10-year invert as well. And just because the 2-year and the 10-year is inverted, well, this is just a nothing burger. Okay, well, actually, Jeff and Emil discussed that to great lengths. And I'm going to dive into it here as to why, and why I think that really is misinterpreting the data, or misinterpreting what's actually going on. Now, let's skip ahead to the 6-month at 1%, basically a 12-month 1.67, 2-year. Now, this is where it starts to invert and get interesting. We got 2.46 and 2.56 with the 5-year. And then you go to the 10-year and it's all the way down to 2.39. And in fact, the 30-year is at 2.43. So both the 10-year and the 30-year are now below the 2-year and the 5-year. So again, this is a huge recession indicator. Now, I want to be clear that most of the time, the recession doesn't occur until maybe a year or a year and a half after these curves start to invert. And they don't remain inverted. Usually they invert for a little bit, and then they start to steepen. And that steepener is usually what you really have to watch out for. And I know I've heard a lot of the talking heads on CNBC say, oh, just forget this yield curve, because you've still got at least a year for stocks to run. You know, again, just trying to cheer on this stock market bubble to no end. But the real question becomes, okay, so why are we seeing this discrepancy here? Why is the front end not inverted as well if things are so bad? And just to give you an example of this view, I'm going to go over to Twitter. And I don't know this guy at all, Jeffrey Kleintop. Maybe you guys know him. But looks like if you look over here, he's the chief global investment strategist at Charles Schwab. Okay, so I don't want to throw him under the bus because I don't know him at all. But if he's working for Charles Schwab, he is incentivized to make it seem like the bull market is going to go on forever. Because if the bull market goes on forever, that means more of the average Joe and Jane putting their money into funds, and Charles Schwab collecting fees on those. So it's kind of like getting economic data about the housing market from the chief economist at Fannie and Freddie. It's kind of all right. But he does point out a great chart here. And he says percent of U.S. Treasury yield curves, plural, that are inverted. And right now he points, this was as of yesterday. I don't know if it might be higher today. But as of yesterday, this was about 10%, where in the past it was prior to the Cervasa sickness about 50%. Well, all the time it's been over 50%. Now, the first reason I would think this was disingenuous is because you could have said that back at the surveys of sickness. You could have said the exact same thing. You could have said, oh, well, this is total fake news. This is nothing burger. Because in the past, the inversion of the curve had to have at least 70% participant or participation. And now, since we're only at 50%, well, it doesn't matter. Okay. And another problem with this is it's assuming that where we are as of yesterday is where we will be today or where we will be next week. Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist Show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. And if you listen to Jeff and Emil's podcast today, Jeff makes a very solid argument as to, now this is probably, it's probably going to get worse from here as far as what's happening for the curve. So therefore, a higher percentage of participation with the different maturities involved. So now let's go over and look at what has happened in the past and try to kind of connect some dots to try to better understand why the long end, or from 2 years beyond, is behaving one way, from 0 to 2 years is behaving a different way. So the short end, long end behaving in completely, like they're polar opposites, kind of. We've got a bipolar yield curve, a schizophrenic yield curve, I guess. And I want to point out that, well, first of all, this is a chart. We got nominal real interest rates, and then we've got inflation as measured by the CPI. And this is the 1 year treasury. So now when we've got a positive real rate and we see a recession or an inversion of the curve, we can assume that the Fed funds is higher than the 1 year, because that's how it typically works. And that's what the gentleman on Twitter is referring to. So let's just go back to, let's just say 1989. We had an inversion right around here and we had a subsequent recession. So here we've got nominal rates at 8.39. We've got inflation at 4.3. So the real rate of interest was 4%, basically positive is my point. And we did see negative real rates here, but I believe this would have been after the Fed significantly raised rates to try to combat inflation. So what makes this different today? And you can see how this is, we're just getting a complete bifurcation between the red line and the blue line. And again, blue line being real interest rates, red line being the actual rate of inflation. And they're just going completely opposite directions. And what this would imply is that the Fed is really behind the curve this time, no pun intended. And they might've been slightly behind the curve. Well, not to this degree, because I'm looking at these charts. Maybe right here, we had the same similar types of action. But I don't know. Yeah, it looks like we had similar types of action there right here in the recession that we had from 72 to 74. Now, I want to remind everyone that that's another ominous sign, because in this time frame, the stock market went down in nominal terms by 50%. even though inflation was extremely high. But you can see that the Fed still was hiking rates, and you know, rates were up at 8.5%. So now the rates have gone from 0 to 25 basis points. So my whole point here is usually, with the exception of this time, we've got the Fed raising rates a lot higher, a lot faster to combat inflation. And another thing that I would argue is that in the past, when they're raising rates to fight inflation, it's because the economy is, quote unquote, heating up. Therefore, the inflation is corresponding with greater degrees of economic growth, where this time it's the opposite. We've got high rates of inflation, but we have lower amounts of economic growth. And everything is pointing to the fact that we are going to have consistently lower growth moving forward. Now, that may be in the form of inflationary recession or a deflationary recession in asset prices. But I think that, you know, what the market is telling us is that CPI is going to remain very high and nominal GDP might dip under that. And therefore, you go into this recession very much like the 70s. That's kind of stagflationary. And so I guess the main takeaway here is the reason you're, and I think this would be Snyder's argument, is because the Fed has complete control over the very short end of the curve. They have very little control over the long end. To sit there and say that the long end is different this time, that's a tougher argument, because that's driven by market forces to a far, far, far greater degree. But what we have now is the Fed only at 25 basis points. When we look at what they've done in the past, and with the exception of the 1970s here, they would be close to positive real rates. So if they were close to positive real rates right now, that would mean Fed funds at, boy, call it, I mean, 5%. I mean, that would still be a negative real yield. But let's just say Fed funds was at 5%. So the negative real yield would be 3%. That would be much more consistent with their average going back, let's just call it 40 or 50 years here. And if the Fed or Fed funds was at 5%, then what would that look like as far as the 3 month? And then let's just go back to this chart or this table. So let's just assume for a moment that the Fed was consistent with what they've done in the past, or the average of what they've done in the past. That means that Fed funds, let's just say 5%. So where would the 3 month be? Well, now you've got the 3 month at, let's call it 5.5%. You've got the 6 month, you know, so then you get this proper inversion of the yield curve, not only at the long end, but the front end. So the main takeaway from Snyder's podcast with Emil today is what we just went over, but also to point out that usually the 3 month and the 10 year is predicting something that will happen in the future. Snyder believes that this time, when you see, or if we see, the 3 month and the 10 year invert, it's going to be because we are already in a recession. So it's going to tell us what is happening now, or it's, instead of being a leading indicator, it's going to be a lagging indicator, because the Fed is so far behind the curve, or so far behind what they typically would be doing at this stage in the cycle. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism, and we'll see you in the next video.